Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Galatians 5, the fifth chapter of Galatians. Oh, Lord, you are the one who hung the stars in the sky, and we do give our thanks and give our praise, and we rejoice even as we've been exhorted in song, and we've been able to joyfully participate in song. And, Lord, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of us. Guide us and teach us and direct us. Lead us, we pray, in these next few minutes, and prepare us for the table that reminds us of the great sacrifice of your Son. Amen. I want to read exactly the text we read last week. Verse 1, verse 13 through 18, and then 24 and 25. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Verse 16, he says, I say, walk by the Spirit, you won't carry out the lusts, the desires of the flesh. Now, when you walk in the Spirit, there is this dynamic in the Christian life where there is a rest in walking in the Spirit, and yet it is warfare. I mean, look at verse 17. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another. So don't just think that it will be all easy to walk in the Spirit. Now, the Bible says run. The Bible says stand. I mean, look at verse 1. Stand firm in your freedom. But primarily, the Bible says walk. It's by far the favorite analogy. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're to walk in love. We're to day by day, step by step, our lifestyle is to be walking in the light, walking in love, walking in truth. I mean, it's littered throughout Old and New Testament. And I want to remind you that it's a timeless analogy. In other words, every culture understands it. Kids understand it. Walking is a simple analogy. He didn't use, you know, some airplane example. Wouldn't have done the first century any good. Wouldn't have done the second century any good. He didn't use some complicated analogy that would not be timeless or would only work in certain cultures. He just talked about walking and we can all understand it. I heard a sermon recently, a pretty good sermon really, but it was drawing analogy after analogy from Luke Skywalker. And I thought, wow, that might be with it right now, or but soon it's going to be so yesterday. And I thought, we need to, I'm grateful that the Bible uses a simple and timeless analogy. And it's a thought-provoking analogy. We talked about it. Step by step you walk. Day by day. It's a process. It's something you learn how to do. If you've stumbled, don't be discouraged. If you're not where you think you ought to be, just keep walking. Put one foot in front of the other. Walk in the Spirit. It permeates Scripture. The first use of the word was our Lord God walking in the garden. communion with us. And when we come to the New Testament, the first use of the term was Jesus walking by the sea and then calling us, and not us as such, but by extension us, calling those guys that were down there at the seashore to what? Walk after him, to follow me. And so you see it, we talked about it. You walk with him. You walk by the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk with the Lord. It's to walk by his strength. Speaks of his power. It's to walk before him. Speaks of reverence and obedience and walking before the Lord. That's the way the book of Genesis spoke of it several times. In fact, the analogy of him being our shepherd and we walk before him. And then, of course, walking after him, following him. So all those prepositions help us kind of get a handle on what it means to walk with him. And last time I said, to walk with him, it requires you've got to have life. You've got to be born of the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. And we do. The only source of life is God himself. And if we haven't been born of the Spirit, we certainly can't walk in the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, don't marvel that I said to you. You've got to be born again. So I hope you've been born of the Spirit. And if you haven't, I'm glad you're here. And I hope that you will come to know who Jesus Christ really is. And put your faith in him. And the Bible speaks of that as being born of the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one who opens your eyes to the beauty of Jesus. And your own need for him. And when we have life by the Spirit, then we walk by the Spirit. And it's a definite point. We may not understand it, and we might look at our life and see a process. But look at verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and evil desires. I mean, there's a point at which you come to know him, and your whole history is ended. We baptized several last week, and they're a new creature in Christ. You belong to him. So be sure of that. And then walking with him. Walking with him speaks of communion and intimacy. How can two walk together, Amos asks in the Old Testament, unless they have an appointment or unless they be in agreement? You can't walk with someone unless you have that communion, that agreement. Okay, today I want to look at this text again, and I want to just simply put it very, very, verse 18, to walk in the Spirit is to be led by the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to be led in freedom. And to walk in the Spirit is to be led in a life of fruitfulness. We'll just glance at these things as we ask God to touch us with his Spirit and with his Word, and prepare us for the table. To walk in the Spirit is to be led by the Spirit. Notice the parallel, verse 18. He hadn't changed the subject. He's saying, walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. The flesh and the Spirit are in opposition to each other. But he says, if you are led by the Spirit, he is our leader. It's not a dirty word. We kind of treat it that way in our culture oftentimes. And we don't like to think in terms of someone leading us. But in reality, we need good leaders. And the Holy Spirit is a great leader. In fact, I can't even, we could say good, great. He's the greatest. He's the best. He's the one we were designed for, to walk with him. And he leads us. Now the idea is to carry, convey, bring. He carries us. He does. As we walk in his power, he carries us. I was reading Isaiah 40, and I appreciated that we sang the last verse of it. But I was reading Isaiah 40 this morning. And verse 11 of that 40th chapter, he says that he carries us in his bosom. I mean, he holds us close and dear It is good to have the Holy Spirit carry you along. I walked into the oncology wing of the hospital. And even just the word, you know. But I was reading the 103rd Psalm out loud. And we came to that verse at the bedside, you know, that your youth will be renewed like the eagle. And we paused and I was chatting and we were saying how, you know, an eagle just, the warm air just, there's no effort. He's just lifted up, carried up. And the 40th of Isaiah closes with that great verse that we sang. And we were just enjoying it. And you know, it's one thing to enjoy it on Sunday morning in a pew. It's another thing when you're in the hospital bed. But to know, to give testimony, as so many of you have to me over the years, of how God lifts you up and carries you. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not be weary. To walk in the Spirit is to be carried by Him. It is to be conveyed by Him. He gets us where He wants us to go. He takes us through the process of life. The Christian life isn't just conversion and then business as usual until you get to go to heaven someday. The Christian life is a dynamic of walking with Him. And He conveys us. He gets us there. Yesterday, after the wedding, it was so wonderful just to rejoice as God brings two lives together. And we were over there at the reception, and a young guy who's been married several years now was saying to me, he said, you know, I've been to a lot of weddings recently. And he said, it is so different, isn't it, when Jesus Christ is the centerpiece? There's so much, and he kind of sought for a word, and he said, substance there to the ceremony. Instead of just the trite platitudes, you know. And as we visited, we thought, yeah, there's so much substance, not just to the ceremony, but to what? The marriage. Life. And we both ended up saying, he who's been married a few years, me, I've been married a few decades, you know. We both ended up saying, oh, would you like to try it without him? No way. He carries you along. He conveys you along. He gets you where He wants you to go. And He brings you. Carry, convey, bring. To where? The destination. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3 for just a second. 2 Corinthians 3. There's a destination involved in a walk. You know? When you walk, you're getting somewhere. And God's Holy Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, we make progress. We're getting somewhere. Chapter 3, verse 18, I think is perhaps one of the best explanations of this dynamic in all the Bible. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and I won't take the time except to just simply note it, that the glory of the Lord is Jesus Christ. You can glance down into verses 4, 5, and 6 of chapter 4 and see that he's underlining that. But as we behold in the mirror of God's Word, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes our hearts and minds and eyes, so to speak, and we see Jesus. We open the book and it's like a mirror. And as we look into the Word of God, we're not forgetful hearers, but effective doers. The Holy Spirit wants to use His Word to show us Jesus. And as we behold His glory, He changes us from the inside out. From glory to glory. It's a process. A day by day, step by step. And notice, look at the end of the verse. It's from the Lord, the Spirit. His goal in your life, Christian, is to make you more like Jesus. His goal in my life His destination for us is that we be like Him. He's going to get us there someday, but His process is as we walk with Him. To be walking in the Spirit is to be led by the Spirit, and He's a great leader. He's the greatest leader, and He leads us toward Christ. Secondly, to be walking in the Spirit is to be led in freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Stand firm, therefore. Don't be subject again to a bondage. This whole passage, I mentioned it last week, is just fraught with freedom. Now, there's a constant and continual and daily debate on this subject. I mean, if you're still in Corinthians there, look at verse 17. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty. One voice says, to walk in the Spirit is freedom. Another voice says, oh no, it's bondage. Now I'll tell you right now whose voice is whose. Look at verse 17. We're looking at God's Word. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom, liberty. We are most free when we are led by the Holy Spirit. Now, glance at our text, and remember last week I said verse 31, even the close of chapter 4, he's saying there's children of the bondwoman and there's children of the free woman. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 13, you were called the freedom, brethren. Only don't use your freedom, don't turn it into an opportunity for the flesh. To be led by the Spirit is the opposite of bondage and legalism. You're never really free. God designed us this way, that we are never really free until we are walking in the Spirit. If your Christian life is fraught with legalisms and burden and no freedom, ask yourself, am I allowing Him to lead me as I ought to? Now, we get lied to plenty in this. The flesh, just like Satan, the flesh opposes the Spirit, and the flesh, our old nature, our sinful flesh, lies constantly about this matter of freedom and says that to be led by someone else, to be yoked to someone else, is not freedom, but bondage. And I tell you, it's a war. And I mentioned last time that Jeremiah, you know, we look back at Moses in Genesis and then we just glanced at Jeremiah, kind of the law and the prophets, because this concept of walking in the Spirit goes throughout the Scripture, and yet it comes to fruition more in the New Testament. But walking with the Lord is not a new concept. And to walk in the Spirit, you can go back into the Old Testament and mine the depths of the treasures there and learn about it. And so I would like you to turn to Jeremiah once again, because Jeremiah uses this term 26 times. And turn to Jeremiah 6. We just glanced at this at the close last time. Verse 16. Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 6, 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. And he's talking to Israel and he says, go back to where I led you, the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. I tell you this morning, you walk in God's ways and you will find rest for your soul. Does that sound familiar? Jesus Christ quoted this, didn't he? He said, are you tired? Are you weary? Have you been going your own way? And I speak to you, perhaps you're not even a Christian, but I also speak to those who know the Lord. You know Him, but you've stubbornly gone your own way. He says, are you weary and heavy laden? You come to me, and you'll find rest for your soul. You take my yoke upon you. What a picture is that? To yoke up with Jesus Christ is to walk in harmony, in agreement with Him. God says, when you do this, you'll find rest for your soul. What does the flesh say? Yoke? I do my own thing. I was born to be free. The flesh is in opposition to the Spirit. There's a voice that tells you not to walk with the Lord. So you read the rest of the verse and they said, we will not. We will not walk in it. I said to the watchman over you, I set watchmen over you, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Oh, there's that stubbornness. Turn over to chapter 7. Verse 23. This is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. Oh, it will be well with you if you will walk with me, if you will obey me. The Holy Spirit prompts us. He came to make us like Jesus, and so He prompts us to be serving Him. And He says, if you'll serve me, it'll be well with you. It'll be well with your soul. What does the flesh say? Serve? I'm in this for me. I don't have time. I don't have time for that. Someone asks you to participate in a ministry and you say, there's one voice that says, do this. It's what Jesus said He came to do is to serve and to give His life a ransom. And we're to follow Him who served us and we're to be servants. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. But the flesh says, no, you don't have time for that. That would cut into your schedule. The Holy Spirit prompts us with a heartfelt prompting to give. And the flesh says, no, you keep and you get. And it's greedy. That's the flesh. It's in opposition to the Spirit. God says it'll be well with you. But there's this stubbornness that wells up, that lies. Look at verse 24. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. Oh, don't forget this opposition thing. I speak in terms of the rest. The Bible speaks in terms of the rest of walking with the Lord, walking in His Spirit. But there's this opposition going on. There's this tension. And you and I face it daily, moment by moment. As we take each step, we're making choices. Whether to walk in His Spirit or not. Whether to walk in His power or not. Whether to walk in obedience to Him or not. And Jeremiah describes it so vividly. There's this stubbornness of our evil heart. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. To walk our own way, do our own thing, have it your way. Our whole culture reverberates with this. The evil one speaks this language. The world speaks this language. And our flesh traffics in that language. You can turn it around, by the way, too. Because this is so deceitful, the deceitfulness of the flesh. You can turn it around. In one sense, God says, obey me and you'll be blessed. And the flesh says, oh, no, you won't. No, you won't. You can turn it around, and what about sin? What about overt sin? The flesh says, that's freedom. And God says, no, it's not. It's bondage. But the flesh says, sex? Just do it. Do whatever you want. Don't let God or some old-fashioned concept, nobody believes that anymore. I mean, look around you. Just plunge in. In fact, don't let anything repress you. You'll find freedom. What do you find? Bondage. Look at our culture. The dysfunction and the emotional bondage and the sexual dysfunction and the sexual disease and the emotional heartache and the sexual addictions that you can't watch the evening news and not be kind of horrified. But why is that? Because the flesh lies. The flesh says, this will bring freedom, and it brings bondage. Jesus said, the one who commits sin, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, the one who commits sin is the slave of sin. If therefore the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You can take it to any realm of your life. The tongue, the flesh says, just say what's on your mind. Just say it. Get it out. How's that helped your marriage? Just say what's on your mind. Just get it out. Oh, it hurts. James says, no, the tongue is like it's a little match. You can set a forest fire with a match. No, control the tongue. Put a bit in that horse mouth. Bridle the tongue. The Holy Spirit prompts us to be careful how we speak. Don't use unwholesome language. Don't say this, don't say that. You speak like Christ would speak. The flesh says, no, that's repression. That will lead to bondage. No, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. Your eyes. The flesh says, watch whatever you want. Turn to any channel. Subscribe to all of them. After all, there's nothing wrong with just looking. Don't be legalistic. Use this freedom you've got, the flesh says. And the impact in the church. Anybody who does any counseling knows what I think everyone in this room knows, that addiction to pornography, for instance, and where do you draw the line, what is it, from the internet on down right into the cable TV, right down into the networks, right down into just about everywhere. It's not a problem, is it? Oh, it's destroying lives. Men who can't even express their love anymore, who are unable. It's sad to see how much the flesh lies. But you can carry it into every realm. Attitudes, the flesh says, indulge yourself. You've been hurt. Carry that grudge. That's not fair, what happened to you. Nurse that bitterness. That'll be freedom. No, that's bondage. That's bondage. Jesus said, no, I'll set you free. No, there is a very real war going on. And I want to underline that to walk in the Spirit, to walk in obedience to Him, is to walk in freedom. There is a freedom like nowhere else, because we were created for Him. And it's like putting oil in machinery. When we walk in the Spirit and allow Him to help us make our choices, allow Him to guide us through life, allow Him to open up the Scripture for us, there is a freedom there. That's the way we were created. That's why we were recreated in Christ. It's no wonder that Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Thirdly, and very briefly, to walk in the Spirit is to be led in and to a life of fruitfulness. Are you still there in Galatians 5? The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Another way of saying Christ-likeness. Which way do you want your life to go? Do you want it to be found in verses 19 through 21? The deeds of the flesh, the ugliness of the flesh, the strife, the factions, the bitterness, the outbursts of anger, walking through life controlled by your temper. That's where the flesh lives. That's what we're all made of. We have different personalities, so some have outbursts of anger, some nurse bitterness. But that's what the flesh is like. Do you want that? Or do you want love and joy and peace? Oh, it's to walk in a pathway that bears much fruit. The flesh promises freedom, delivers bondage. The Spirit promises and delivers real freedom. Talking to a guy just yesterday, he said, I have been free from alcohol 28 years. And I said, congratulations. I said, you've been dry 28 years. And he said, yeah, I met Jesus Christ. And he gave him all the credit. And I knew exactly what he was saying. There is such freedom in Christ. There is such freedom in walking in the Spirit. Now, this permeates every area of life. Your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your time at work. The book of Ephesians is almost framed around this term, walk. And so next time, we're going to look at it more carefully that way. To walk in the Spirit, the whole second half of Ephesians is framed around this term, walk, this concept of walking. And to walk in the Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit, is to be controlled by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the blessed result. And there is a life of fruitfulness that brings glory to Christ when we walk in the power of His Spirit. Do we live by the Spirit? Yeah. Then let's walk day by day in the Spirit. And as we come around the table, we come around the commemoration, the reminder that Jesus Christ purchased our freedom with His death and burial and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit opened our eyes to the magnificence of Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of walking day by day in communion with Him. Father, we praise You for the freedom, for the joy, for the love, for the peace that Your Son produces in our life, that Your Spirit produces in our lives when we walk with You. We praise You that Your Son came to set us free, to deliver us. And I pray that we who live in the Spirit will now walk in the Spirit, that we will not be caught up once again in the bondage to sin, but we'll be knowing the joy and the freedom of life day by day, step by step in Christ. Amen.